will move on to Artie Desai. Artie has just recently completed her MPH at Loma Linda University, and she has now started the PhD program out there. And it's in a... Oh, no, you're right. First, we have Agnes. My apologies. Agnes Torres da Silva is here with us today, and she will be speaking to us. She, Dr. Torres, is the regional advisor in environmental epidemiology at the Pan American Health Organization, which is based in Washington, D.C. So, please welcome Dr. Torres.
Good afternoon. I hope we won't make you sleep. Midday, I don't know if you have already had lunch, but what I'm going to discuss or share with you today is a proposal of an environmental health strategy for the Americas. And this is will be a long way of discussion, and in the end, we intend to submit it to our governing bodies. So I really appreciate the opportunity to present here, because we want to have feedback and comments and suggestions and in this process. Why we need this environmental health strategy? Well, this is a collective work. We are all from the Pan American Health Organization. This group has put this initial draft of a proposal, but it will be open, and anyone willing to contribute is welcome. Well, the reason, the main reason we need this environmental health strategy is to join efforts from everything that is happening already, like to have a framework in a way that we can advance more quickly towards what we need. This will contribute to achieve not only the what is missing from the Millennium Development Goals, but will prepare the region also for what comes next, for the Sustainable Development Goals and what is happening post 2015. This is a way to join efforts in a global strategy to improve sustainable development. And it's not only looking at the environment as separated from all the other UN strategies and all the other health sector specific strategies. It's just how to combine the, these efforts to come closer to health equity and universal health coverage. The structure of what I'm presenting is just to give an overview of the situation. It's not complete, and I'll give some examples to see why this is where we are now in this situation in the region, and what are the biggest challenges. We have, we can say we had great advances in all these years. And if we can say what happened, for instance, only to have lead banned from gasoline, the enormous progress we made on this, but also a ban of the use of organic chloride pesticides and many others, we could say we came a long way to get here. But there is much to do. And we use this environmental health, the field of knowledge in public health practice that addresses the way in which the environmental determinants affect the health of human beings and population. And we say here natural, anthropogenic, physical, chemical, biological, and ecological determinants. And this environmental determinants is the language of talking and the social determinants of health, and environment is part of it, so it's not something separated. And the UN resolution is that gives us the framework to work with that. So we need to strengthen the health sector to be capable of dealing with this situation that is new. Health has never been so important in the global policy, not only in the health policy. We can see that other sectors have are using health also in negotiations, and if you see, including NCDs are outside of the health sector, and we need to improve our capacity to interact with other sectors and to bring more advances in protection to public health. I'm not going to go through all of these, but it's always good to know. We have a long history. We just decided to start in 1972, but we could go as further as the 19th century or even before. But we decided this would be a good way of telling where we came from. And if you see the text of the Stockholm Convention that was on human environment, there were principles, I think it's 16 principles. And we can see how this helped also to draw this line, what to work everyone in the same in the same way, and we advanced, but it could be much more if we had worked not thinking on the environment separated from the health sector or health services. And here I just pinpoint some of the most important documents that are linked or should be linked to the strategy. The framework I mentioned is the UN framework, was the one approved by the member states in the meeting in the Rio Plus 20 last year. And it talks about all these dimensions of sustainable development. And as you see, environmental sustainability is part of it, but includes biodiversity, a stable climate. And pay attention to the word that it's not only economy, is inclusive economic development. It's inclusive social development and includes peace and security. In all these enablers, in health, as you see in the middle, human rights, equality, sustainability is what links all these dimensions of sustainable development. And health is not only an enabler, but it's also a product of a sustainable development. And this is something that you must understand very well, because it's impossible to measure advances in equity or advances in sustainable development if you don't include health. So we play a very important role on this, and we should take the lead, make us better advocates of sustainable development and linking to health. We had this experience on doing advocacy to include health in the agenda of the Rio Declaration, and in the first draft there was no health in the draft, and it ended up with a chapter on health. So where we are now? So one of the main reasons that we should look at the environment when working in public health, it's because of the burden of disease. As I'm not going to talk too much about this, but it's a major contributor of the burden of disease. There are other emerging global issues, and I talk here about our changing environment, and we don't have to go further to study what is happening with climate change, but also with the increasing in urbanization. It was very nice to see the presentation before me because it's a practical example. There is no way to receive all these people. We have more than 80% of our population living in the cities and no infrastructure for that, no planning, no collective thinking on how to deal with that. And especially when there is some planning, we are not doing it together. So we need to find the way of sending the message that health is a matter of everyone. So it's health in all policies. And there is no way we can achieve universal health coverage if we don't work like this. So urban planning is sitting together for transportation to where you put the schools or where how you build houses and what you are allowed to sell. Everything must be together, and we should play a major role in these decisions. And there are other issues that we have not solved. One of them was very well presented before, but we have others. And we are a region that is, our economy is growing, so consumption is also growing. This is bringing a lot of pressure on the production, and including in agriculture. But not on the agriculture that is the one we use it. It's the large economic driven, and it's a market driven agriculture that is for exportation and for the production of meat. So we are introducing at the same time more NCDs and having the risk of shortage of water and food insecurity. These are particular issues that are from the global scene, but it has in the region some particularities. And we have to look at our institutional capacities, how our governments are capable of responding, reacting to that. As I said, 24% of the years lived with disability, 23% of premature mortality are attributable to environmental and occupational exposures. But more importantly, indoor air pollution, that is burning solid fuels, and the example also to burn like anything, it's not only wood as some people think, burning anything, is the leading environmental risk factor worldwide. And not surprisingly, it's also a leader in this region. And it's a forgotten business. It's like an unfinished agenda. Because when you look in, on averages, we don't have this problem, like in terms of numbers. But this is concentrated where the poverty is. And that's the reason we have to work in a way to make it visible. Air pollution is the second leading environmental risk factor, but it's also the ninth overall risk factor for burden of disease. And this is, shows how important it is to understand the processes and to intervene at level, at the policy level, to if you, we want to decrease pneumonia, respiratory disease, COPD, we need to work with that. And this is what is killing our kids, is increasing maternal mortality. It's all, we are all talking about the same problems in the same places. Just to draw attention, we are still, we have not finished our epidemiological transition. So two countries here, Costa Rica, and the you see the first one, the green part is the communicable disease, and the orange is the non-communicable disease. You can see that Costa Rica has gone is much further in this transition from communicable to non-communicable disease. But look at Guatemala, you know, where both are very heavy contributors of mortality. So we have to deal with this complexity. The other, the changing environment, these are data, official data. There are some implications you can see in the source. I'm not going to talk much more about this, but there is certainly increase in flood. And this brings all the other problems to the edge of our capacity to respond, to react. And then comes cholera in Haiti, and after, there was never cholera there. And we will see much more things happening like this with global warming. And the big cities, and the big problems come with the big cities. Yeah, only to show this, I had a poster, if you have the chance just to look at this, so I'm not going to go into details. But tell us a little bit of how unfair, unjust, and how this produces inequities. And I only got here, it's very rough, it's not an analysis, just to show trends. And from 1990, 2000, and 2010, I only put here the countries that had more than 50% of their use of the of population using solid food. And you see that only San Vicent and Grenadines were capable to basically eliminate the use, or it's less than 5%. All the others are still high. There are some countries like Paraguay, Haiti, and Guatemala. There was no change at all in the percentage of population using it. And this is the average. If you look at the rural population, then it's larger. Okay. Water and sanitation. I only have this curve. This is an inequity curve. The further you are from the blue line, the more unequal of the distribution. And this is also published in the Health in the Americas. It's online if you are more interested in looking at more details. 40% of maternal mortality and under 5 mortality are concentrated in the countries where it's a lower coverage of water and sanitation. Air pollution. Only the places you see here in green are in the average annual of PM10 that are under or in the same as the guidelines of WHO. All the others, not only the annual standards of the countries, but also including when you look at their own standards, they are much above this standard. So population at risk of all types of disease. And this, you can think about all the cancer since we have new evidence. So capacity is missing in many of the countries. No reliable chemical and poisoning surveillance and assistance in all poisoning centers. And that's the reason we have thought on some principles, and we follow a little bit of how we see the health sector should be organized and how we link with all the others. It's public health protection, sustainable development, environmental health in all policies, universal health coverage, human security, health equity, and a global vision with local approach. The purpose is to strengthen the capacity of member states to protect, promote, and effectively address environmental health with focus on children, pregnant women, and women, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, and to strengthen the leadership role of health authorities. The main goal is to contribute to achieving universal health coverage and decreasing health inequities. The vision is a health system that's capable of exercising its sectoral and intersectoral stewardship over environmental determinants of health based on the state-of-the-art knowledge towards health equity. The strategy formulation is basically in 5 strategies: strengthening stewardship and governance, environmental health promotion and care, universal approach, addressing the social and environmental determinants of health, and action in the specific areas. And also include here evidence and competencies for knowledge management. The way forward, this is consultation process, and we are willing to submit this to our governing bodies. And let me know if you want to be part of it. Just have my email, just contact us. And we are hoping to have a lot of people working toward this environmental health for all in America. Thank you.